This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Unzipped, fin24.com's technology podcast. My name is Simon Dingle. In today's show, we talk about telecommunications for the most part. We'll be chatting to Arif Hussain, who's the CEO of FiberCo. That's the new national fiber network that's being rolled out by Cell C Internet Solutions and other players that have teamed up for its development. We'll also chat to Farron Roper, who's from FNB Connect. They're introducing a special on calls internationally, and we'll find out more about what FNB is doing in the telecommunication space. But first, it's time to chat to Arif Hussain, the CEO of FiberCo. So Arif, FiberCo is an interesting development in the telecommunication space in South Africa, being spearheaded by, for the most part, it seems, convergence partners, but also Cell C and Internet Solutions. Obviously, those three companies feel that there is a definite need for another domestic fiber network. Tell us more about the sort of concept and the idea behind FiberCo and its requirements.
As you rightly mentioned, the key to this whole thing is the strength that the different partners bring in terms of both in terms of funding capability and in terms of operational capability. Now, Cell C and IS are both large players in their own right, and given where we see the demand for broadband going over the next 3 to 5 years, especially when you look at the likes of the different undersea cable landing stations that are likely to come on stream over that period, We basically see a significant increase in the utilization of broadband services over the course of that period. And when we look at the infrastructure in place today, we just don't think it's going to be adequate to cater for the needs of the market over that period of time. And that's really the intention behind looking to build it. I think another important principle is that FiberCo is an open access network. So unlike a lot of the previous infrastructure projects which we've seen in this market, which are really driven by operated for their own internal purposes, FiberCo is going to be open access, which means it will be able to sell capacity to any licensed players in the market on a basis that's very transparent and competitive for them.
Okay. Now, some would say, and of course it comes with a pinch of salt because one really needs to know about the numbers involved, but we see developments like Broadband InfraCo, we see all of the fiber conduits in the ground from Dark Fiber Africa, and then as you mentioned, those other national networks which are self-serving for specific telecommunications providers. It's hard to believe how much capacity we perceive using in the future, but really we are talking about an underdeveloped market, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. I think there are two dynamics that one needs to bear in mind. One is the one that you've mentioned already, which is sheer capacity. And whilst there are a lot of networks in place already, and also further networks being built, we feel very simply that there's a need for a lot more long-haul transmission capacity in the market. A statistic that's commonly quoted is that if you look at the total amount of national, international transmission coming into a country, typically the kind of national transmission you need to distribute that around to the population is many multiples of that capacity. Somewhere between 5 and 10 times that capacity. So if we've got 8 to 10 terabits of capacity coming into the market from these undersea cables over the next few years, we think we need a good 50 to 80 terabits, if not more, even more like 100 terabits of capacity. So there's a need for more infrastructure to get that. The other thing is about redundancy and resilience. I mean, it's one thing to have large cables moving capacity from point A to point B. When there's a problem with those cables, you need alternate routes to get the kind of quality of service that people expect. To give you an example, if you look at voice networks, they're very sensitive to quality of service. Once you start running a substantial amount of voice traffic over those networks, you need a significant amount of redundancy to deliver the right quality of service. So that's where we see a further need for additional infrastructure as well.
Right. Now, in terms of what this is costing and how much fiber is going into the ground, can you reveal those numbers for us?
Sure. So I can give you an estimate of the ranges that we're working with. Our total estimated plan is somewhere in the region of 12,000 kilometers. I mean, that's quite a large vision. And we estimate that to cost somewhere in the region of 5 billion rand. That's clearly going to take some time. What we're focusing on in the first place is a ring between the main urban centers of Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Durban, for which we'd estimate a budget of somewhere in the region of 1.5 to 2 billion rand. depending on certain factors. And that is the kind of funding requirement that we're looking at for the third phase.
Okay. And in terms of the timeline, when do you expect the network to be completed? Is this a five-year project or perhaps even longer?
Yeah, I mean, the 12,000 kilometers is anywhere between 2 and 5 years. Depends on a range of factors, which, you know, I wouldn't want to go into the detail right now.
Yeah.
What I can say is that the first phase we're targeting in between 18 to 24 months from now. So we're looking at Switzerland coming through at the end of 2012.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks for bringing us up to speed, Arif, and good luck with deploying all of that fiber.
No problem. Thank you very much.
That was Arif Hussain, the CEO of FiberCo. We now move over to FNB Connect, the telecommunications division of the bank FNB. It might sound like a strange combination, but somehow FNB has ended up in the telecommunications game and seems to be making a pretty good go of it. We're chatting to Farron Roper from FNB Connect about a new call rate that's being introduced along with the other services that the bank offers. So Farron, when a lot of people hear about the FNB Connect concept, the first question that comes to their mind is, what on earth is a bank doing in the telecommunications space? Perhaps you could give us that answer first.
Sure. Look, we're in the business of banking first. I think FNB Connect is a value add to being an FNB customer. So it's an attraction and retention tool for us. And, you know, in terms of living true to our brand slogan as to, you know, how we help our customers, FNB Connect is essentially seen as a way in which we can help our customers achieve savings on their voice and data bills.
Okay. Now, you've thrown a cat amongst the pigeons with a new price that's been launched in the market this week, 25 cents per minute for calls to anywhere in the world. Now, I may be wrong in this, but that if to my mind, is the cheapest offer in South Africa at the moment by far.
Well, most certainly. I think it's probably even internationally competitive as well. So, yeah, just to give you a little bit more detail, the 25 cents applies to, you know, irrespective of whether you call a mobile or a landline number, not only in South Africa, but it applies worldwide as well. FNB, you know, one of the things that we, in line with our innovation approach, you may not recall, but a couple of months ago when the interconnect debate was raging on, we were the first to market with a 99 cents mobile call campaign, which subsequently, you know, we were the first to market once again with a 79 cents off-peak. And now for the 25 cents. So our approach has been quite consistent. Excuse me. Our approach has been quite consistent in that, you know, we want to be seen as championing the cause of the consumer for low-cost telecommunications.
Now, for people who aren't familiar with FNB Connect, you offer ADSL connectivity as an internet service provider. And you also offer this calling. Now, for people who aren't aware of how you make calls through FNB Connect, how exactly does that work?
All right. Well, the application, first, if I may say, works off multiple access mediums. So you can download a free application to your cell phone. It works with iPhone. We've recently also just included all of the Android phones with Symbian, so Nokia, HTC. So you download the application onto your phone. You register, and it's quite user-friendly. So once you have the application on your phone, the application allows you to make calls. It allows you to SMS. It also allows you free instant messaging. So on-net calls, you mentioned Skype earlier, on-net calls are completely for free as well. And then there's several other value adds that are embedded within our application. For argument's sake, you know, you can do voice recording. You can find your nearest branch or nearest ATM. You can view foreign exchange rates, etc. So that's one way in which the application can be downloaded. You can also download your application onto your PC. And then, you know, to the extent that you don't use it on your cell phone or your PC, you can use it on our website address, which is www.fmbconnect.co.za, and search for TikiBox.
Okay. Now, this all sounds fantastic, but the big catch here potentially is that one has to be an FNB customer, although as you were saying before we started the recording, you've found a way around that too.
Yeah, essentially, if you're not an FNB customer, the registration process is very simple. It's a three-step registration process, and to the extent that you're not an FNB customer, we can make you become one in record time. So we'll allow you to sign up, and we'll create the transactional account for you, for you to deposit funds into and utilize the FNB Connect product suite.
Okay, so essentially, if one wants to get in on it, they don't need to commit to becoming an F&B checking customer or anything like that. They can get a simple transactional account for the sole purpose of their telecoms.
Correct, but ultimately, our intention, you know, behind F&B Connect is to give the benefit back to the public at large, but specifically for F&B customers to reward
sure.
them
okay.
for their loyalty.
Great. Now, this 25 cents per minute, is that a permanent fixture for the foreseeable future, or is this a special that's on for a finite amount of time?
It is a promotional offer, so it commences on the 22nd of November uh-huh. until the 22nd of January. So it's more or less in line with the festive season, and this is just our way of rewarding our over 70,000 customers, of saying to them thank you for your loyalty, and this is how we'd like to give back.
So after that, the prices go back to what they would be at the moment.
Well, at the moment, our 99 cents and our 79 cents mobile call offering, for argument's sake, is still, and I stand to be corrected, the cheapest, if not one of the cheapest offerings. So at this present moment, all indications are that we will revert back to that pricing, but you can expect anything from F&B Connect.
That was Farron Roper from F&B Connect. Okay, so now it's time for our weekly gadget chat with Svetlana Doneva, the multimedia editor at fin24.com. Hi, Svetlana.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Fine, thank you. And
you? In New York.
Yes.
I'm fine. What are you in New York for?
I'm attending an Acer Global press conference later today. So when we finish speaking, I need to go get ready for that. They've got some big announcements that they're making today. Acer, of course, the third largest computer manufacturer the last time I checked in the world. So we'll find out more about that later today.
Do you have any kind of an inkling what it might be?
I know they have a tablet device and some new phones that they're rolling out. But other than that, I don't know all of the details yet.
Okay, so let's chat about this Power Traveler Mini Cooler that you want to tell me about.
Yeah, that's our gadget this week. And it's basically a backup battery for really small laptops, so netbooks, your phone, your camera, and the smaller devices that you carry with you. It also has an adapter mm-hmm. that allows you to use it with Apple's iPad. The idea is that you charge it up. It's about the size of an external hard drive, so not very big. It's quite light too, surprisingly light actually, considering that it's a battery. And then you carry it around with you, and when you need to charge up any of those devices, you plug them into the Mini Gorilla and you take some power from it.
Is it enough to charge a netbook?
It is. It'll roughly double whatever you plug into it. So it'll fully charge your mobile phone. If your netbook, I spoke to somebody who tried it with the Triple EPC, the little Asus netbook. He says he usually gets about 2.5 hours battery life, and he now gets 5 with the Mini Gorilla, so he can charge it up for another 2.5. So the rule of thumb seems to be whatever you're plugging into it, you can double the battery life of. The only thing you need to be careful of is you have to adjust its voltage for whatever you're plugging into it. So it's got two outputs for power, and then it comes with connectors for a range of devices, including just about every netbook and mobile phone on the market. But if you use that port, you have to change the voltage on the Mini Gorilla to the same voltage of your device. Otherwise, you could fry it. So that's a bit of a dangerous one. But it also has a USB port, and that, of course, is a standard output, I think 5.5 volts or whatever it is. So if you're using the USB port on it, then you don't have to worry.
Okay. Now, are there other devices like this on the market, or is this pretty unique?
There are, although I haven't seen one quite the size of the Mini Gorilla. They really are either very big and heavy or very small and will only give you, like, for example, the power stick we've spoken about before will only charge your phone to about halfway, whereas this is a more sort of serious battery solution that will charge perhaps even two phones depending on what they are. So, no, it doesn't really have any competition. The only thing about it that I find puzzling is the price, because in South Africa it's R1,500, and you could mm-hmm. buy a second, laptop battery for that price. I suppose what's nice with the Mini Gorilla is that you can use it for not just your netbook, but also yeah. your phone and all your other devices, your camera. I've been using it with the iPad, and it works very well, but you do need to buy an additional little adapter before you can do that.
So for the price, worth it?
I think it's worth it if you need it. If you're somebody who, I'm trying to think of the applications, you know, if you're out and away from power sources a lot and you need to work, or if you travel a lot, I suppose there are some people who really need something like this, and then it definitely is the best of its kind. But as just a fun gadget to sort of have, I don't see many people buying it.
Well, Simon, thank you so much for telling me about it, and I hope that you enjoy the rest of your trip.
Cool. See you back in Johannesburg.
See you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That was Svetlana Donova, our multimedia editor at fin24.com, and that brings us to the end of the show this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Simon Dingle. Bye-bye.